Okay, good morning, everybody. Gudvach, Shavua Tov. Parshas Toldos. There is an enormous amount to talk about, to discuss, to contemplate, and to think about. I would like to address something that I saw many of the Mefarshei Chumash almost surprisingly note. It was something that I've thought about over the years, but this year, Dafka, I saw multiple Mefarshei Chumash raise this sort of quasi-question, or I would call it a ha'ara, an anecdote, or a point, and that is as follows. If you look throughout Sefer Bereishis, the Avos specifically, Avram and Yaakov, are given an enormous amount of attention in terms of their lives. If you look at the life of Avram Avinu, so it spans Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayera, and Chayesara, three Parshas. But they're not just three Parshas, they're lengthy Parshas, and that really address and note and go through the life of Avram from birth to death. Now, while it's true, and we've pointed this out in Parshas Lech Lecha, that Avram is introduced to us at the age of 75. And there's very little that we know about Avram Avinu prior to age 75, at least in Torah Shebechsav. The Medrashim talk a lot about the life of Avram prior to him coming on the stage in terms of what's written in the Torah. Nonetheless, we know about Avram Avinu from age 75 till his death at age 175. 100 years of his life are really very detailed, from the most significant to the smallest. Everything is really writ large in the Torah in terms of the life of Avram Avinu in those three parshios, Lech Lecha, Vayera, and Chayesara. Yaakov Avinu, the same thing is true. Starting in next week's parsha, through the end of Sefer Bereishis, so you're looking at a total of parshios, Vayetze, Vayishlach, Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi, six parshios, double that of Avram Avinu, are dedicated to the life of Yaakov Avinu. And we know everything about Yaakov, his struggles with Esav, his struggles with his father-in-law, Lavan, his challenges with his daughter, Dina, and multiple challenges with Yosef. Everything is written very carefully, and we know so much about the life of Yaakov, spanning birth to death. Now, Yaakov Avinu, we really know the most about, Vayigdalu Hane'arim, as it says already in this week's parsha. We know from Yaakov Avinu, starting from a very young age, from the time of adolescence, we learn a lot about Yaakov Avinu, his trials, his tribulations, his challenges, his ups and his downs. However, what do we know about Yitzchak Avinu? Yitzchak doesn't have two parshios, he doesn't have three parshios. Yitzchak Avinu's life spans one parsha, and that's Parshas Toldos. This week's parsha, if you want to know about Yitzchak Avinu, on the one hand, it's the easiest, because you just learn Parshas Toldos. On the other hand, it's the hardest, because you really know very, very little about Yitzchak. So much so that we refer to a very well-known passage when we say, Titein emes liYaakov, chesed liAvram. Right? Avram Avinu speaks to chesed, kindness, righteousness, charity, benevolence, philanthropy. That was the life of Avram Avinu. Yaakov is emes, truth, the challenges he had, the difficulties, standing up to Esav, standing up to Lavan. So that means that Chazal, and in Torah Shebechsav, we speak very much to the lives of Avram and Yaakov. Yitzchak is not referred to in that text. Titein emes li Yaakov, chesed li Avram. Now, what do we know about Yitzchak? Where is Yitzchak? Where do we find details about Yitzchak and Yitzchak's life? His ups and downs, his challenges, his successes. What do we know about Yitzchak? It's only in these very, very few prakim in this parsha and parshas toldos. And now, as we look through the parsha, as I'll take you through the parsha, you'll see even that which we know about Yitzchak is still very, very little. So the question that I really want to address this morning and to try to pick up upon is twofold. Number one, why is Yitzchak given the least attention of all of the Avos? Why do we know so little about Yitzchak? Why is Yitzchak's life sort of clouded and shrouded in mystery? And why does the Torah not give us more details and not speak more about Yitzchak Avinu? Does Yitzchak Avinu not have something to teach us? Is Yitzchak's life not as important? We all know, Ma'isa Avos Simen Labanim, that what occurred to our forefathers really is a goalpost and is trailblazing our future. So certainly there's much to learn from the Avos and the Imos. But why is it that Yitzchak specifically, his life has been shrouded, clouded in mystery, and there's the least amount of information about Yitzchak Avinu? Question number one. Question number two. Even when the Torah does tell us about Yitzchak, as you'll see momentarily, it's very, very mysterious and very, very silent. And there's little information information that the Torah gives us. Now, even as I said, the information that we will read momentarily seems continuously, and I'll show you the psukim, very much following the path of his father Avram. And the Torah doesn't tell us anything unique, anything specific, any characteristic traits, any details different about Yitzchak than that of Avram. So what I'd like to do this morning is take a look at multiple points, multiple psukim, multiple sections of Parshas Toldos, and share with you and show with you that this introduction is not just in the air, but rather it's very, very clear in the psukim that number one, the Torah doesn't address the life of Yitzchak as much as it does the other of us. And number two, that which we know about Yitzchak is minimal. And number three, you'll see the comparison of Yitzchak to Avram. So as I pointed out, I was happy to see that many of the Mefarshei Chumash do pick up on this problem. I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes LeYaakov. I saw Rabbi Simcha Zissel Broidy in the Sefer Sam Derech is bothered by this. And late last night, I found that the Abarbanel, Rav Dan Yitzchak Abarbanel, he also has a very, very fascinating essay about this point. And I'll read it with you inside a little bit later in this year, because I think he really puts the entire Parsha, Parshas Toldos, into perspective. But let's start by reading the opening two psukim. The opening two psukim in Parshas Toldos, I think, really speak very loudly to this issue that we have, and really places the issue on the table from the get-go. Take a look at the following two psukim, the opening psukim in Parshas Toldos, Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Yotest. The Torah says as follows, Eile Toldos Yitzchak. These are the offspring of Yitzchak, Ben Avram, the son of Avram. Avraham holid es Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. In one pasuk, in one very short pasuk, Yitzchak immediately is told about in terms of who his father is. Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. Avram holid es Yitzchak. Meaning, we know that Yitzchak was born to Avram, and then the Torah tells us again, Avram holid es Yitzchak, in the inverse. So it's almost like two sides of the very same coin. And it's not two pictures on different sides of the coin, but it's the very same picture. It's the very same details, just told in a different way. Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the offspring of Yitzchak. Now, if we're focusing on the offspring of Yitzchak, why do I have to know who Yitzchak's antecedents are? Why do I need to know who Yitzchak's ancestors are? Why is that so critical? If the Torah is about to report Yitzchak's descendants, why focus on Yitzchak's ancestors? And that's exactly what the Torah does. Eile toldos Yitzchak, these are the offspring of Yitzchak. So tell me, who are the offspring of Yitzchak? But it doesn't do that. And now tells me, Yitzchak ben Avram. Yitzchak is the son of Avram. And again, Avraham holid es Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. So the stress on Avram being the father of Yitzchak and the stress on Yitzchak being the son of Avram is awesome. It's very, very obvious. It's very blatant. So blatant that Rashi and other Mefarshei Chumash, the Pashtonim, those who explain the simple understanding of the text, they pick up on this problem immediately. Rashi famously notes that the reason for the stress that Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak is the son of Avram, is to teach us that don't think that Yitzchak came from another relationship. We all know that Sarah was taken, and as a result of her being taken by Avimelech, one might imagine that that's where Yitzchak came from. Yitzchak's birth came as a result of Sarah being abducted by Avimelech. So therefore the Torah goes to great lengths to set the record straight, to make sure that we know, no. Yitzchak is not a product of Avimelech. It's Avraham, holid es Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak from the marriage of Avraham and Sarah. So that's in the simple understanding, the pshat in the pasuk, in terms of Rashi. Why is it that the Torah goes to great lengths to explain, to teach, to articulate Avram holid es Yitzchak? But nonetheless, we still have to ask this question. Why is it in the very same pasuk that we're learning the same thing twice? Again, Eile toldos Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram holid es Yitzchak. Avram gives birth to Yitzchak. Not just that. Take a look in pasuk Beis, in the second pasuk in the parsha, pasuk Chaf. Vayhi Yitzchak ben Arboim Shana, bikachto es Rivka bas Besuel Harami mipadan Aram, achos Lavan Harami lol Isha. Yitzchak is how old when he marries Rivka? The Torah tells us 40. Note, the Torah doesn't tell us how old Avram was when he got married. The Torah doesn't tell us how old Yaakov was when he got married. But for some curious reason, although we know very little about Yitzchak, we have one detail that we know about Yitzchak as opposed to that of Avram and Yaakov. Yitzchak got married at the age of 40. And of course the question is, why? Why does the Torah tell us the age of Yitzchak in terms of his marriage? Why is that important? Why is that critical information? And of course, in terms of the fact that it's not noted when it comes to Avram and Yaakov, again, speaks to the fact that the Torah is trying to tell us something. The Torah is trying to teach us something. What about Yitzchak getting married at the age of 40 is significant to the life of Yitzchak and is important to us in terms of knowing that and understanding that. So those are the two opening psukim in terms of what we know about Yitzchak. And then let's take a look as the parasha continues. And here you see something else very, very powerful in terms of Yitzchak Avinu. If you take a look, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Aleph, the first pasuk in the opening chapter, the second chapter in all the parashas told us. If you have the Stone Chumash, it's on page 128. Perek Chavav, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 26, verse 1. The Torah says as follows. Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz. There was a famine in the land. That's in Eretz Canaan, where Yitzchak is, in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Milvad Harav Harishon Asher Haya Bimei Avraham. Besides the famine that took place in the life and in the times of Avram Avinu. Stop. Why is the Torah telling us and comparing Yitzchak and the struggles and the challenge that he had when there was a famine in the land of Israel, and then comparing that to the struggle, the famine that existed in the life and times of his father Avram, as well in Eretz Canaan? Why does the Torah just not tell us, Vayhi Rav Ba'aretz, period. Vayelech Yitzchak el Avimelech, Melech Prishtim Gerara. And Yitzchak traveled to Gerar, to Plishtim, to try to be able to get out of the famine. The Torah goes to great lengths again. Milvad harav harishna shehaya bimei Avram. The Torah goes to great lengths to stress that not only was there a famine in the life and the times of Yitzchak, but more than that, teidelacha, you should know that the famine that existed in the times of Yitzchak was similar and compared to the struggles, the challenges that Yitzchak's father Avram had as well. Why? Why does the Torah tell us that? Now, immediately, upon learning about this famine, one reads and understands that Yitzchak should do exactly what his father did, right? One would imagine that Yitzchak is going to do, if the Torah is stressing to us that there was a famine in the life and the times of Yitzchak, just like that of Avram Avinu, so Yitzchak willy-nilly, ipso facto, should do exactly what his father did. His father left Eretz Yisrael, as we learned about, and traveled and looked for food. The same thing is true seemingly with Yitzchak. However, take a look. Immediately, in the next pasuk, God appears to Yitzchak. Vayera elav Hashem v'yomer, al teired mitzrayma, shchon ba'aretz asher omar lecha. Because God knows that Yitzchak Avinu is going to do exactly what his father Avram did. And just like Avram left Eretz Yisrael and went to Mitzrayim in search of food, sustenance, so too Yitzchak would do the same thing. And it's at that point immediately that God appears to Yitzchak and says, stop. Don't do exactly what your father did. The Torah tells us, Gur Ba'aretz Hazos Ve'yemach. Stay in this land. Remain in Eretz Yisrael. Don't do what your father did. And there's a very important Rashi here. And Rashi says the following. Al Tered Mitzrayma, says Rashi, don't go down to Egypt, God says to Yitzchak. Shahyadaito Laredes Lemitzrayim, Kamoshi Yarad Aviv Bimeharav. He planned, intended to leave Eretz Yisrael just like his father did. Exactly what Avram did when there was a famine in the land of Israel in the times and the life of his father. Amalo Al Tered Mitzrayim, God says, don't go down to Egypt. Sha'ata Ola Tamima. You are a holy sacrifice. Yitzchak, you are special. You are unique. Vein chutzlartz kedai lecha. And the land outside of Israel, chutzlartz, is not kedai for you. Here we already have a tip. And we already have a secret. We already have a hint into who Yitzchak was and who Yitzchak is and why Yitzchak is categorically and fundamentally different than Avraham and Yaakov. Yaakov was the Av who traveled the entire span and the width and breadth, not only of Eretz Yisrael, but of Chutz La'aretz. Yaakov has to leave Eretz Yisrael, and God commands him. God actually appears to Yaakov and tells him, B'maros halayla, leave. Leave Eretz Yisrael, it's not for you. Avraham, on the other hand, lived in Chutz La'aretz and traveled to Eretz Yisrael. But Yitzchak Avinu, God says to him, don't leave the land of Israel. You're an Ola Tamima. Now an Ola Tamima, just like a Korban Ola, we know, there are different types of Karbanos. And certain Karbanos, both are eaten and are also sent up to heaven. The Ola is not touched. The Ola is Kula Ola Lashamayim. It completely goes up to heaven. Yitzchak Avinu seems at this point on some level to be above, to be beyond, to be distant from this world. And really, if you get that impression, if you look back to the end of last week's parsha, two parshas ago, when Avram was placed indeed on the Mizbeach, on the altar, Yitzchak seems to have a different element to him than just a regular human being who walked on the face of the earth. God tells Avram, take your son as a sacrifice, place him on the altar. And Avram does exactly that. Haleu sham lola, place him on the Mizbeach. And Avram is prepared and ready to give him and to hand him to God as an Ola Tamima. Until the Malach comes down and the Malach says, no, Al Tigabo, don't touch him. And Avram removes him. But here again you see that Yitzchak seems to be unique, separate, distant, farther. And it's for that reason that we refer to Yitzchak as Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. We refer to Yitzchak as almost being a man of fear, being distant, being separate, being somebody who had a very deep, intense relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, distant, and not exactly the same as Avram and Yaakov. And maybe we're beginning to understand why we know less about Yitzchak Avinu. We could learn a lot more about the life of Avram and Yaakov to our lives. The struggles of Avram, the challenges of Avram, the challenges of Yaakov, the ups and downs, the trials and the tribulations, the highs and the lows, the familial issues, the sibling rivalry, the leaving Eretz Yisrael, having to go to Chutz La'aretz. Those are things that we deal with. Those are challenges that we have. Those are issues that we have to face and things that we have to vet. Yitzchak was very different. Yitzchak didn't necessarily have the same issues, the same problems, and more than that, the way that Yitzchak dealt with them was different. He was Pachad Aviv Yitzchak. He was a person who was separate, who was distant, who was closer to Shamayim than Eretz. We are closer to Eretz than Shamayim. And therefore, on some level, Yitzchak seems to be a bit foreign and further from our understanding. But nonetheless, at the same time, we need to appreciate that what we're seeing in these psukim is that Yitzchak is identical and is always being compared to his father Avram, and that we still need to figure out and still need to understand. So now for the third time in Parshas Toldos, we are seeing a comparison between Yitzchak and his father Avram. The first in the opening pasuk is when the Torah tells us twice that Yitzchak is a son of Avram. And now, for the third time, we're saying that the Rav, the famine that existed in the life and times of Yitzchak, we specifically and explicitly compare it to the famine in the life and the times of Avram. The only difference being, of course, is the fact that God appears to Yitzchak and says, don't think to do a tati, Abba, your father did, but rather stay in Eretz Yisrael, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. And not surprisingly, we see another incident identical that takes place with Yitzchak and Rivka to that of Avram and Sarah. Yitzchak finds himself in Gerar, in Pasuk Zion. And the people ask Yitzchak, who is this woman that you are with? Who is this lady? And the Torah tells us that Yitzchak says that who is this? This Rivka that we know about is not his wife, it's rather his sister. As the Torah tells us, Vayikra Avimelech liYitzchak vayomer achine ishtachai veicha marta achosihi. I see that you are involved with her in a different way than a brother and a sister, and I know this can't be your sister. It must be that this is your wife. Why did you tell me that she's your sister? Vayomer lav Yitzchak ki amarti peno hasaleh. And Yitzchak says exactly what his father Avram said when he had his wife Sarah, and he told the Melech Mitzrayim and Avimelech the same thing. That's my sister. And God tells, and Avram tells, Melech Mitzrayim tells Paro and tells Avimelech, I was scared that you were going to kill her, and therefore I was forced to lie and say it's my sister. And then again, the same story repeats itself. Avimelech turns to Yitzchak and says, I can't believe it. We were about to take advantage and we didn't know that this was your wife. And then ultimately, the story continues. Avimelech gives Yitzchak a lot of wealth, a lot of riches. Vayigdal ha'ish, as the Torah reports in Pasuk Yigimel, Vayelech haloch v'gadel ad ki gadol me'od, Yitzchak became very wealthy, exactly like Avraham became wealthy. Vahilo miknet son umiknet bakar va'avudo rabba va'yikanu osa plishtim. Yitzchak had an enormous amount of flock, enormous amount of riches, and he had extreme amount of wealth, so much so that the plishtim, the Philistines, began to become jealous of Yitzchak Avinu. So again, the life and times, the story that we're reading about Yitzchak as it unravels, seems to parallel almost identically that of his father Avram. And then the Torah continues, and take a look, and here's another very important pasuk that will teach us a lot about Yitzchak Avinu. And that is Pasuk Tezvav, Pasuk 15, Perek Chavav, Chapter 26, Pasuk 15, Pasuk Tezvav. V'chol HaBe'eros, immediately after the story of Yitzchak and Avimelech and Rivka, V'chol HaBe'eros, we're still in the area of the Plishtim, all of the wells, Asher Chafru Avdei Aviv B'mei Avram, that were dug in the life and in the times of his father Avraham, Aviv, Sitmum Plishtim Vayimalum Afar. The Plishtim filled them up, covered them, and filled them up with dirt. Amazing. So here it is again. The Torah is not giving Yitzchak any time and any ability to really be creative, to be innovative, to show his own personality and characteristic traits. But everything that happens to Yitzchak is identical to that which happened to Avram. And here again, as Yitzchak is traveling by the land of the Plishtim, he sees all of the wells that his father dug had been covered, had been filled with dirt, with afar. Vayom Avimelech al Yitzchak lech minanu, ki atzamta mimena rav. Go away, we don't want you here. They say to Yitzchak, you have become mighty, powerful, richer than us. So Yitzchak leaves. And what does Yitzchak do as he leaves? Pasuk Yirches, Vayashav Yitzchak Vayachpor es Be'eros Hamayim Asher Chafru Bimei Avraham Aviv. You know what Yitzchak does? He digs up the wells, the same wells that his father dug, which were filled in by the Plishtim. Vayisatma plishtim achrei mos Avram, vayikrelen shemos kashemos asher karlen aviv. What does he do? He undigs these wells, which his father dug, and what does Yitzchak do? He renames them. But he doesn't rename them in a way that identifies him to the well, but he renames them and gives them the names, exactly those names that his father gave them. Vayikral and Shemos Kashemos Asher Karlan Aviv. He calls these wells exactly that which his father called them. So not only do we talk about identity crisis, but there is lack of that completely in the life of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak is his father. He's his father's son. The Torah tells us that in the opening pasuk. The Torah tells us that regarding the famine. The Torah tells us regarding the wells that were uncovered that he did. And again, he names them the exact same names as his father did. So again, we have to try to understand and try to get to the bottom of the life of Yitzchak, and why is it that Yitzchak is so identical to his father? Why is there no originality? Why is there no creativity? Why is there no unique characteristic traits or distinction in the life of Yitzchak? And why is Yitzchak given so little coverage? Again, this very short parsha and these very short prakim. But the story continues. Take a look, Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27. And here again, you see something unique about Yitzchak. Now, of course, the lion's share and the critical part in the life of Yitzchak, if you ask anybody, what do you know about Yitzchak? Everybody knows about the brachos. The brachos of Yaakov and Esav, both brothers, twins, vying for their father's blessing. Now, if you read the entire chapter 27, Perek Chav Zayin and Parshas Toldos, when we talk about the brachos, who do we talk about? we talk about Yaakov and Esav. Although they're referred to as Birchas Yitzchak, the blessing of Yitzchak, at the end of the day, the proactive characters in the story are certainly not Yitzchak and not Rivka, but it's rather Yaakov and Esav who are bidding, who are vying, who are fighting for the bracha. It's Esav who goes out to hunt. It's Yaakov who has to come up with a plan and the ruse to try to receive those brachos. Yitzchak is almost passive. And you don't know what Yitzchak is thinking. You know what Rivka's thinking. It's very clear in the psukim. Rivka wants the brachos to go to Yaakov. It's very clear that Esav is vying for those brachos. And it's very clear that Yaakov Avinu is going to follow exactly what his mother Rivka tells him. So we get Rivka, we get Yaakov, and we get Esav. That the Torah tells us about. But Yitzchak, who is the owner of the blessings, they're his brachos to bestow. They're his brachos to give out. Quiet. Silence. What does Yitzchak want? Why does the Torah not tell us who Yitzchak wants to give the brachos to? Now, it's clear that the rightful owner of the blessings is going to be Esav. Esav is the older brother. And it's understood that by default, Yitzchak is going to give these brachos to Esav. But take a look in the opening pasuk, and again you see something very telling about Yitzchak. Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27, pasuk Aleph. Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak. Now zaken Yitzchak, we were just introduced to Yitzchak. We were just told about him. He was 40 years old, we know, when he got married. And now all of a sudden he's an older man. He gives birth to Yaakov and to Esav. We know a lot about Yaakov and Esav. But Yitzchak, we don't know much about his birth. We know he was born. We know he was weaned by his mother. And now we know that he got married at 40. And now all of a sudden he's an old man. So silence in the life of Yitzchak. And as Yitzchak gets older, Vatikahena Einav Meraos. Yitzchak becomes old, his eyes dimmed from seeing. Yitzchak is blind. And this certainly speaks to the character and the essence of Yitzchak. Blindness certainly speaks again to distance, being farther away, being separate from society. So much so that we know a blind person, Chazal referred to kemes, being blind is almost like you're being dead because it's such a great challenge. It's the hardest thing not to be able to see, not to be able to interact with others, not to see the sun shine and not to see the sunset, not to see people, individuals around you is a great challenge. And it causes enormous distance. Other challenges, other disabilities, we have easier ways to a certain extent of dealing with them, right? We could handle them on some level a little bit better. But if you've ever visited the Blind Museum in Israel, you get a very clear sense of how hard it is to be lacking eyesight. The great challenge of not being able to see creates a distance automatically and creates a person hovering into their own world. That's Pachar Aviv Yitzchak. So Yitzchak again has this unique quality, this identity where he's on his own. And thus that speaks again to the ability that people had to deal with him differently and the ability that Yitzchak had to deal with others differently. And here you go through the story and it becomes very clear why Yitzchak is not spoken about as much and why Rivka, Yaakov and Esav become very powerful figures in the story of the brachos. Yitzchak's blindness again speaks very much to who he was and to why it is that Yitzchak Avinu is not being spoken about and why it is that Yitzchak Avinu's life is shrouded and still clouded in mystery. This takes us toward the end of this chapter, end of Perek Chav Zayin. And I'll conclude with this in terms of shedding light and opening up the life of Yitzchak. Another similarity. Take a look at the end of the story after Yaakov receives his bracha and after Esav receives his bracha. The last nine psukim in Parshas Toldos, Perek Chavches, its own chapter, chapter 28, take a look at what happens here. And tell me again if this does not remind you of Avram Avinu. Perek Chavches, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 28, verse 1, Vayikra Yitzchak el Yaakov. Yitzchak calls his son Yaakov. Vayivarech oso. And he gives him a bracha. Vayitzaveyu. And he commands him So here you see for the first time Yitzchak very powerfully, a command. Vayitzaveyu. Yitzchak commands Yaakov Vayomelo, and he tells him, Lo sikach isha mibnos Kenan. Don't marry a woman from Kenan. Kum lech Paden Aram Besa Besuel. Go travel to Paden Aram, to the house of Besuel. Avi Imach, your uncle, your mother's brother. Vekach lecha misham isham imnos lovan achimach. And go find the woman from our family, from our household, back in Paden Aram and not in Canaan. Is this not identical to Parshas Chayei Sarah, where Avram Avinu tells Yitzchak Avinu, don't marry a woman from Canaan. Go travel back to where we're from, to Haran, and from there find a wife from our household. So Yitzchak again copies his father identically. And what does Yaakov do? Yaakov travels. Yitzchak gives him the bracha. And he travels, and he leaves, and just like Yitzchak goes wandering with Eliezer, searching for a wife, so too Yaakov parts from his father Yitzchak. So I hope I've shown you at least 6 or 7 ways where you see the life of Yitzchak almost identical to that of his father Avram. But then, last night I found that the Abarbanel makes this point even clearer. He notes this issue, this identity of Yitzchak being almost carbon copied to that of his father. And then the Abarbanel adds multiple other similarities between Yitzchak and Avram. And I'll read it to you inside, and you'll hear some of the points that I made just now, and at the same time you'll note some additions. And he says the following. Lehagid, says the Abarbanel, Shibimaoros shikaru ye'aru liYitzchak, the events and the things that happened in the life of Yitzchak, nisdame le'Avram, occurred to Avram, ba'ofen shem hochichu ki Avram holed es Yitzchak. Remember back the opening pasuk that we stressed in the Torah, that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. And we asked why. Why does the Torah stress in the opening pasuk that these are the offspring of Yitzchak, Yitzchak the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. So the Abarbanel says to teach us for sure, in no uncertain terms, that absolutely positively Yitzchak is the son of Avram, because everything that happened to Yitzchak happened to his father Avram. It's almost the same DNA, not just in terms of blood type, but in terms of characteristics and in terms of foreshadowing their lives. Yitzchak, everything that happened to him happened to his father. Lehisdamos inyane ha'avi korosav linyane ha'ben. That which occurred to the son, Yitzchak, occurred already with his father. Kihine im Avram lakach isha mimishpachto. Just like Avram took a wife from his family, Yitzchak gam kein lakach isha mimishpachto. Yitzchak also married a woman from his family. Im Avram lokcha bibacharuso ben mem shana kemosha biarti. The Abarbanel suggests his own theory that Avraham got married at 40, even though the Torah doesn't tell us that. But the Abarbanel suggests that Avram got married at 40. We don't know that in the Torah. Gam Yitzchak lokcha ben mem shana. Therefore, Yitzchak also got married at 40. And therefore, that's the reason that the Torah tells us how old Yitzchak was when he got married, to tell us that just like his father got married at 40, he also got married at 40. Im Avram v'ishto shneim hayu akarim, gam Yitzchak v'ishto hayu akarim. Just like Avram and Sarah couldn't have a child and were barren, so too Yitzchak and Rivka were also barren. Im Avram holid rishona Yishmael harasha. If Avram gave birth first to a son who is wicked called Yishmael, v'achar kach Yitzchak hachashuv, and then later it was Yitzchak who was the second, who was the chashuv child. So too, says the Abarbanel, Ken Yitzchak. Similarly with Yitzchak. Holi tchila Esav Arasha. First, Yitzchak gave birth to Esav Arasha. V'achar kach holi Yaakov Ishtam. And then gave birth to Yaakov Ishtam, this perfect child, the Ishtam Yoshev Olim. Im Avram holi Yishmael Pera. If Avram gave birth to the son Yishmael, who was a Pera Adam, who was a wild, wild kid, a wild child, a wild human being. Limur midbar v'tsuda tamid, he was always in the fields, hunting and wandering and searching and killing. Yitzchak Yoshev Ohelim, and Yitzchak was this calm, quiet, respectful kid. Ken Yitzchak Holid Esav Yodea Tzad Ishada. Yitzchak gave birth to this child by the name of Esav, who was wild, who was extremist, who was a hunter and a gatherer. V'chakach Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohelim, and then gave birth to Yaakov, who was this calm, quiet child. Im Avram Ohaves Yishmael al Kechasrono. Avram loved Yishmael, even though he was a wild, extreme kid. He was a para adam. Ken Yitzchak Ohaves Esav. So too Yitzchak loved Esav. Im Avram Garash mi Beso es Yishmael. If Avram banished Yishmael from his household, lo mirtzon el mirtzon Hashem, not because he wanted to, but because God commanded him to, ken Yitzchak Garash es Esav mi Birchaso. So too Yitzchak banished Esav from the bracha, umirushaso, and from his inheritance, baratzon Hashem. That's how it turned out. That's what Rivka wanted. That's what God wanted. Im Avram beno hakaton yorashes birchaso v'yude yirushas arzo. If Avram's youngest son Yitzchak inherited and was the recipient of his bracha and his inheritance, kacha Yitzchak Yaakov beno hakaton zachal ezatzmo. So too Yaakov also was the recipient of all of the good of Yitzchak. If in the times in the life of Avram there was a famine, so too in the life of Yitzchak there was a famine. If Avram traveled to Grar, so too Yitzchak did. If Avram traveled to Avimelech and to receive some sustenance and food, so too Yitzchak halach elav Avimelech ofichol tzar tzvah levakesh briso shlomo. Im Avram Amar al Ishto Achosihi, if Avram said about his wife that she is my sister, Vochichu Achin Melech al Kach, Kol Kach Yitzchak, and Avimelech took Avram to task for saying that, the same thing happened with Yitzchak. Im Avram Nisbarach B'miknet Son Uvaku Kenaya Yitzchak, if Avram was blessed with riches and wealth, cattle, so too Yitzchak. Gam Kain Avram Chafer Be'eros Kain Yitzchak, just like Avram dug wells, so did Yitzchak. Harelecha Hadimuyim Ha'ela, you've seen clearly the similarity, says the Avernel, Shehayu Be'neim Sheba'avuram Amar Avram Holides Yitzchak Shnizdame Eila Bikarosav, says the Abarbanel. That's the reason that the opening pasuk stresses that Avraham is the son of Yitzchak, not just in DNA, not just in terms of how they looked, not just to prove to us that it wasn't Avimelech who bore Yitzchak, but to teach us that Yitzchak was identical to Avraham in all ways. However, I hope you're all still wondering, asking, and thinking, what's the significance of all this? Because the Abarbanel doesn't tell us what the significance of this identity of Yitzchak that he has in terms of his father. We have to understand, what is it, and why is it that the Torah, again, only gives us one parsha for Yitzchak, and tells us little about Yitzchak, and whatever the Torah does tell us about Yitzchak, as I've just shown, it's all about the similarity that Yitzchak has to Avram. Here's what I would like to suggest. You know, often in life, you have people who are incredible builders. You have people who are leaders, religious leaders, political leaders. You have people who are creative, build businesses, and are extraordinarily successful in being trailblazers. What happens after that is very challenging, because often politically, religiously, spiritually, and in the world of business, things fall apart after that great leader leaves. And we could talk about different leaders. And you could see very clearly in life how often somebody who's so creative, so successful, so original, afterward, there begins to be a crisis. And there begins to be an identity crisis. What do we do with our movement? What do we do with our yeshiva? What do we do with our business? We've lost our founding father. We've lost our creativity. We've lost our originality. We've lost everything that has been created and developed by this individual. That was Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the founder, kaviyachol, of everything that we know. Avram Avinu founded monotheism. Avram Avinu founded God. Avram Avinu taught us how to deal with people. Avram Avinu was the first quote-unquote human being that this world saw who understood how to blend and how to manage people and God. That what we spoke about some weeks ago, that was the struggle that the Dor, the generation of Noach had. That was the struggle that the generation of the Dor Haflaga had, the Migdal Bavel had. Avram Avinu was able to blend, to merge, and to create a synergy in terms of his relationship with human beings and with God. Avram was a builder. Avram was a trailblazer. Avram was the first monotheist. Avram was a person who was willing to stand up to others. Avram brought people into his tent, physically and spiritually. Now what happens? He gives birth to a son, Yitzchak. The question is, where do we go from here? What is Yitzchak going to be? And I believe that the Torah is stressing to us that the way to concretize the life of Avram Avinu and everything that Avram Avinu brought to the world is not by Yitzchak being independent and not by Yitzchak being creative and not by Yitzchak being original. But if we want the lives and the times and everything that Avram Avinu stood for to have continuity to it, we need a child to be able to be a receptacle of it and take the lessons of his father and to share them with the world. Because if Yitzchak would have had his own identity, if Yitzchak would have had his own personality, if Yitzchak would have had his own way about doing things, we were going to lose Avram. And we were going to forget all the lessons of Avram. And therefore, Yitzchak Avinu's challenge and his own identity is to be his father's son. And to pass along the messages and the lessons and the philosophy and the ethics of his father Avraham. That's who he is. He is Avram Holides Yitzchak. Yitzchak ben Avram. That is who he is. He's nobody else besides his father's son in order for the Torah to make sure and for the world to make sure that everything that Avram has done has been able to be collected in the world, in the life of Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is only going to redig the wells that were closed by his father Avraham, and rename them exactly what his father called them. He's not going to do anything different. I have to continue to reveal my father's Torah. I have to continue to reveal my father's life. I have to continue to teach my father's messages, his ethics, his Torah, his lessons, his monotheism. That's what the world needs right now. It doesn't need more creativity, more originality. It doesn't need new ideas and new sentiments and new lessons and new teachings. What the world needs is my father, and I am here to continue to pass on the legacy of my father. And thus it's writ large, exactly at that point when he redigs those wells that were stuffed and were closed, and he redigs them and then he renames them exactly the same. That is what Yitzchak is, and that is who Yitzchak is. And the truth is, if you look throughout Jewish history, and we could talk about this for a very long time, you'll see very often when there's a great leader, the next leader is not in great in terms of creativity, in terms of originality, but that leader becomes a paradigm of continuity of his predecessor. And one of those that's most obvious, of course, is Moshe and Yoshua. If you learn Sefer Yoshua, which all of you did, what do you see about Yoshua? You see Yoshua is the Talmud of his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. That's who Yoshua is. Yoshua's whole life is supposed to do exactly what Moshe did and what Moshe wasn't able to finish. Moshe was supposed to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And when Moshe can't do that, Yoshua finishes Moshe's job. Chazak ve'amatz, lo mosh mipi ha'oel. Yoshua never left the tent of his Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu. He apprenticed Moshe from the time that he was able until his death. Because Yoshua understood, just like Avraham needs a Yitzchak, Moshe needs a Yoshua. And throughout Jewish history, you see that that's what the next generation has to do in terms of leadership. You see this after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. The great leader was Hillel HaZaken. Hillel, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah Daf Chaf Ches, had 70 disciples. The greatest of his disciples was Unkelus. Unkelus, Targum Unkelus, was Yonasan ben Uziel. Was the great Yonasan ben Uziel, was a genius of a person. Was an extraordinary man, so much so the Gemara says about him, that any time a bird would go over his head when he was studying and learning, it would absolutely be burnt to the crisp, because when he studied Torah, it was as if it was Matan Torah. Torah all over again. The weakest of the students, the weakest of the 70 students of Hillel, was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now, who took over the Torah mantle and who took over the leadership position of Hillel? It wasn't his greatest student. It wasn't Yonasan ben Uziel, but rather was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was stuck to his Rebbe. And the world needed Yochanan ben Zakkai after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. It didn't need creativity. It didn't need originality. It didn't need its own new world view. We have to follow the what occurred in the previous generation. How can we create and continue the Torah mantle and the leadership of Hillel? The way to do that is exactly by continuing it through being a student of Hillel. And it happens throughout Jewish history as well. The greatest disciple of the Vilna Gaon is none other than Reb Chaim Mivolozhin. Reb Chaim Mivolozhin was a genius of the first order, and he wrote many multiple volumes. But if you read the Svarim and you know anything about Reb Chaim Mivolozhin, what is he? He's the student of his Rebbe. He's the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He writes, Alavai, I wish that I could be called a student of my Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. That's all I want to be, is to be his student. And what Reb Chaim Mivolozhin did was to continue that which his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, did. And it's true with Chassidus also, the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of Chassidus, who brought Chassidus to the world. The next generation, his Talmud, who was going to take over the mantle of leadership of the Baal Shem Tov? It wasn't going to be creativity and originality. It wasn't the Toldos. It wasn't Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. But it was rather the Magid of Mezrich. Because the Magid of Mezrich was going to be the student who was going to continue the teachings of his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. And that's what the world needs anytime there's a great, awesome leader, is the ability to transfer and to continue the leadership in a way that it's going to be concretized. If you've read anything the last few weeks about Reb David Feinstein, so Reb David Feinstein was a genius, was an absolute genius. And Reb David's mission in life was to make sure that his father, Reb Moshe Feinstein's teachings, would continue. And he would push that. And that's how he saw himself. He saw himself being the student and the son of Rav Moshe. That's who he was. Of course, he had his own identity. And certainly, he had the ability to be a trailblazer in psak. And his psakim were known from one end of the world to the other end of the world. But when you would talk to him, he'd say, this is what my father said. Rav Moshe said like this. The Rosh Yeshiva said like this. He saw himself as being the continuity of his father's teaching, of his father's halacha, of his father's piske halacha. That, I believe, is Parshas Toldos. Parshas Toldos in the life of Yitzchak is creating a Yitzchak Avinu who is able to be his father's son. Avraham Holeres Yitzchak. And everything we see about Yitzchak is so similar because it has to be. Because we need to be able to teach the Torah of Avraham Avinu and to continue the Torah of Avraham Avinu to the world, because that's what the world needs. And it's for that reason that we know less about Yitzchak than Avram and Yaakov. And the Torah doesn't report as much. Because in terms of our life, Yitzchak doesn't speak to it as much. The world needed Yitzchak then, for Yitzchak to be the teacher of Avram's Torah and to continue the teachings. But that was for then. Just like Yoshua was the student of Moshe, just like Reb Chaim Mivolozhin was the student of the Gra, just like the Magid of Mezrich was the student of the Baal Shem Tov, and each of them taught their Torah and continued their principles and lessons and ethics. That's exactly what Yitzchak is doing with Avram. Thus, I believe that is the essence of Parshas Toldos. That's why we know less about Yitzchak, and that's why Yitzchak's identity and the psukim and the parshios that we read here in Parshas Toldos speak to Yitzchak being this son of Avram. And the identical things, as we have shown, as the Barbanel has shown, take place in the life of Yitzchak in order to concretize and to make sure that we don't lose Avram and we don't lose his teachings. Because there are many examples of great leaders who were unable to pass their teachings on to the next generation, either because they didn't prepare the next generation, they didn't prepare a Yitzchak. And Avram was very careful, as we focused in last week's Shir, making sure that there will be a continuity, that there will be Yitzchak. He buys Maris HaMachpelah. He makes sure that Yitzchak gets married off. Avram makes sure that there has to be a next generation. There needs to be continuity. And Yitzchak picks up on that. He understands that. My father wants me to continue his legacy. And therefore, that's what happens. But when that transition doesn't happen, yeshivas fall apart, institutions close, businesses fall apart, there's sibling rivalry, things can't get done.
And therefore, the success of Klal Yisrael, the success of monotheism, the success of the ability to continue to be a light unto nations, to continue to be a Klal Yisrael, is with Yitzchak's. And that's Mesorah. And therefore, in every generation, it's critical to think what we need and who our leaders are and how our leaders are continuing the trajectory and the traditions at the same time that we have to keep. Mesorah, tradition in Judaism, in Klal Yisrael, is so critical and is so crucial. And therefore, it's incumbent upon each of us to make sure that we are following the appropriate paths while being original and creative in our own lives, but at the same time watching to see how generations continue to follow in the paths of our forefathers, because that's the only way to continue. That is the only way to succeed. That is the life of Yitzchak, and that is Parshas Toldos. Wishing everybody an amazing, amazing week.